Good morning. I want to welcome everybody to the worship services here at Marion Street. I just really appreciate everybody being here. We have several visitors. Just want to say you're our honored guest, and if you want to come back anytime, we'd appreciate you being with us. Today we're having a little bit different from normal service. We're having our sermon and song. We do this every fifth Sunday. So Bradley has put something together for us, and he'll explain more about that when he gets up here. But I just want everybody to join in, and I wanted to read a verse real quick. You know, we've been blessed by God to praise Him and worship Him in different ways, and one of the ways that we love to do that is through song. And a lot of times we focus on the way the song sounds, how good the notes are, how good the melody sounds, but just want to encourage everybody today to truly sing from the heart, and it's going to sound, it may sound beautiful to us, but it'll sound beautiful to God. Psalm 28, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him." Let's all join together and praise God through our songs today.
Good morning, church. I'm excited to be with you here this morning. Like Mike said, we're going to spend our time maybe just a little bit differently than we normally do. We're going to spend majority of our time in song and in scripture, focusing on our theme of what the Lord has done in me. And there's a song that is titled that, and that's the song we're going to use this morning. We're going to, again, we're going to sing some songs, we're going to have some scriptures, and then I've also asked a couple of men to spend a little bit of time reflecting on the question, what has the Lord done in you, or what has the Lord been doing in you lately? And what I've done is I've asked them to share their answers with us this morning as part of the service. And so as we enter in, I want to ask all of us to reflect on what the Lord has done in our lives. What has He been doing in our lives? And let that reflection lead you maybe to a spirit of thankfulness, maybe to a spirit of mourning, maybe a spirit of joy. Whatever you're going through, let that thought kind of provoke a little bit of something inside of you. And then ultimately, because God is who He is, no matter what we're going through, we get to praise Him. So engage with us this morning in our service as we worship our Savior and think of Him and what He has done and continues to do in all of us. We're going to start by singing this song, "What the Lord Has Done in Me." If you read music, you'll know all the notes are there, but the red lettering will follow that. First slide here, sopranos and altos, so all the women just sing the lead for this first slide, and then we'll all kind of jump in together. Let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say,
oh, Let's bow together and offer our thanks to God. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're so truly grateful and thankful to you that we can take this moment before we enter into our service to pause and truly thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for our King, our Savior, and our Lord. Thank you that we can remember his death this day. But most of all, Father, we thank you that he has changed our life, that you have changed our life, that you have surely made us rich when we were poor. We are weak, but you have surely made us strong. That is such a comfort, Father, that we can face this world and the times that we live in with confidence and assurance from you that we can live with you one day in heaven for eternity. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to study, to listen, to sing. Let us use this opportunity and these words as we consider what you have done in our lives, and that we truly are eager to share it with others. Help us to do that as we do walk about each day in our lives, wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Father, there are a few that we'd like to mention before we enter into this service and remember them as we are worshiping you. Father, please be with the Brodies as they bring home a new child. We ask you to be with Lane and Brady as they're expecting a new child. And we ask you to be with Ethan and Addison as they pursue their adoption. We thank you for their willingness, and we pray for them. Father, remember Brent as he is recuperating from his shoulder surgery. And now, Father, let us focus on you and your Son as we worship you. Forgive us when we repent of our sins. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. So Bradley texted me earlier this week and asked if I would take a minute or two to talk about what the Lord's done in me and my family. And I told him the other day, I texted him back, it took me about a day to reply. I was reluctant. And I sat there and I tried to question why. Why was I reluctant? You know, why did I not want to do this? You know, it's because, is it, I don't know how to talk or speak. I've done that many times up here in front of y'all. It was like he was asking me to do a one-hour sermon. Not the case. And I think what happened was that as I thought about it throughout the day, I think what it is the topic pricked my heart from the standpoint of it's not what the Lord has done for me, it's what the Lord has done in me. Because for me really requires no action. Everything's done for you. It's a gift. But when you say it in the context of what has the Lord done in me, it puts the action on you. What have you done in the Lord? Have you lived a life of Christ? So some of the things I came up with was, well, for starters, my wife and I think the Lord has worked through us, given us years of patience and understanding as we strive to bring up our children under the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, and although those days of admonition are past us, I'm a true believer that he will continue to work through us and to impress upon them his love, especially as they mature and take their walk with the Lord. And I'll always remember a primary verse that my wife loved whenever we would have talks or there would be talks. It was Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. In my mind, these verses characterizes what the Lord should be doing in every one of us on a daily basis. We don't often see it, but God does indeed work in our lives through our troubles or through troubles and hardships. The death of my father has been a huge struggle for me personally. And although I won't elaborate on it, unfortunately, I have to admit, I've been angry, I've been bitter, frustrated, stressed. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, these are not the characteristics that demonstrates the Lord working through you or anyone. But I'm thankful because I'm married to a wonderful, godly wife who the Lord has worked through, showing me love and compassion. And that's the Lord working through her. And although it's taken some time and some encouragement, I've come to realize the Lord's used my struggles and my suffering to increase my dependence on Him. And what He continues to do is give me strength and to get past this point in my life and to keep me calm in stressful times like this. He works through our lives and the things we say and do. Part of being a Christian is sharing God's love with everybody. And if you've known God's love and guidance through your life, you need to be sharing it with others. If you have a loved one who's experiencing some difficulty or has made some bad decisions, you should talk to them and offer your godly advice. If you see someone in need and you can help, take that action and do something about it. Be the source of encouragement that the world so desperately needs. And know that as you work to put God first in your life, God will be using you to work in others' lives as well. So I challenge you today as we go through this service, be pricked in the heart and figure out, what is the Lord doing to you?
The gift that he just mentioned that God has done for us is exactly what we're going to talk about, sing about right here. We'll talk about in Romans 3:23 how we're all in need of God. And then we'll sing about the amazing love and then the hope of heaven that we have. First is in need.
In need of grace, in need.
My humble plea, my
This is my song, my humble plea. I am your child, I am in thee, I am your child, I am in thee. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's love, dying for me, who calls his name, for me, who scorned his perfect love?
Scripture reading be Romans chapter 8, starting verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
when we all get to heaven, if you would, let's all stand as we sing.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Different movies and medieval movies and Marvel movies, you see what a shield does. And yet every day our God is a shield for us. We're going to sing "A Shield About Me." Think about the protection that He provides, the deflection of evil that He provides, and the comfort behind that shield that we obtain.
Thou, O Lord, art a shield of
morning's second reading will come from Philippians 2, 1 through 13. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
So many things in this life we try to hold on to. We try to have a tight grip on them. But when we release that and we give it to God, there's so much pleasure in that, so much release in that, so much comfort in that. Part of letting the Lord do in us what he wants to and seeing what the Lord has done in me is giving him that control. We're going to see the Lord take control. We'll sing this song through twice.
My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you, take control. You are stronger. Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written. Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. Jesus, you are Lord of all.
What the Lord has done in me. So one story, I know a lot of us know this. Me and Hannah have received several cards about this, but in my family, my grandfather just died. And I want to thank everybody for reaching out, sending cards, giving hugs, and texting. But that is what the Lord has done in me lately. My grandfather has always been, always was a giving man, gave everything he had, was very generous to anybody, was a real estate guru and let several people skimp on free rent, even though it didn't make sense. Everything he had, he gave. Didn't live a great, rich life, but just wanted to give. With that, he went to church. He wasn't a Christian, was never baptized. In his old age, he developed Parkinson's, and with my grandmother, they had to read for speech therapy. And my grandmother has always been a devoted Christian, and so what she did is she made him read the Bible every morning with her for speech therapy. And no matter how many people have studied with him, no matter how many of us had talked to him, he never wanted to be a Christian. He never wanted to be baptized. But through the past few weeks, his health declined rapidly. Nobody really knew what was going on. His oxygen levels started to drop in the hospital. Eventually, we were able to take him home. And in those times at home, he was very clear, very lucid. And the one thing he wanted more than anything was to be saved, was that he wanted to be baptized, that he wanted to be a part of God's family. And with that, one thing that I can see through that whole situation is that he never saw the need until the very end. And I think that's the greatest part about Christ, is that he constantly pursues us, constantly wants to be right there until we see that need that we have to have. This morning in the teenagers class, we talked about worship. And Jenny reminded me of a verse in Romans chapter 11, verse 1. And many of us know this verse from heart, but I had forgotten. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The main part in this verse that I see is the very beginning, when it says, it starts off with saying, by the mercies of God. Everything hinges by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God, my grandfather finally saw the need and wanted to be a Christian. It's by the mercies of a God that affected our family, that it affected me and Hannah as a married couple, that we got to see our church family reach out and grab onto us. It's by the mercies of God that we get to see his pursuit each and every day. It's by the mercies of God that I get to have this experience, to see it firsthand, to feel it, and be able to tell you about it. It's by the mercies of God that I get to see the need in my life.
through a good job, through being successful, through marrying a beautiful woman who is a great Christian, I've forgotten how much I need the people around me. I've forgotten how much I need God. And through this experience and through all of you and through this verse, it's by the mercies of God we all get to see that need. And that need has been filled. And by the mercy and by that need, that is your spiritual worship. And that is why I worship this morning, is because I get to see that. I get to see that need being filled. And I thank you for that.
Highly exalted.
You were despised, you were rejected, worthless, chastised, even a burden that came from the side. Such was the suffering you bore for us. Led like a lamb to the slaughter, you spoke not a word, but chose to be silent, though you did no wrong, nor was deceitfulness found in you. Yet by your words our salvation has come, yet by your suffering our freedom is won. For God has highly exalted your name. He has enthroned you on high. Jesus, the name of all names. God has highly exalted your name. He has enthroned you on high. Jesus, the name of all names. You were despised, you were rejected, Lord, those who passed by, even a burden that came on the side. Such was the suffering you bore for us. Led like a lamb to the slaughter, you spoke not a word, but chose to be silent, though you did no wrong, nor was deceitfulness found. Yet by your suffering our freedom is won. For God has highly exalted your name. He has enthroned you on high. Jesus, the name of all names.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that who should believe him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is probably one of the most quoted verses in the scripture, but it's a very powerful verse, something to think about. This morning, as we fix our minds on the Lord's Supper, I would like for us to consider three things as to why we do this. One is to commemorate. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, 1 Corinthians 11, 24, 25. He intentionally chose to establish the Lord's Supper during the celebration of the Passover, Matthew 26, 17. The Passover was instituted by God to be a memorial of his deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper as a memorial of the deliverance from sin he would give to those who trust in him, Matthew 26, 28. The bread and the cup remind us of the one time Jesus made the sacrifice on the cross. We partake to remember what he did on our behalf. Number two is to anticipate. With the words, I will not drink the fruit of the vine from now until the day of which I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom, Matthew 26, 29. Jesus anticipated a reunion with his disciples in his Father's kingdom. Likewise, he instructed them to partake the Lord's Supper in anticipation after he eat this bread and drink the cup, he proclaims the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we observe the Lord's Supper in anticipation of Jesus' return. We as Christians should look forward to that time when we can celebrate with him. Number three is to participate. More than a time of individual reflection, to observe the Lord's Supper is to participate in a congregational act by which we confirm our faith and proclaim to the world that Jesus is the only way for our salvation. In Paul's discussion of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, he made the point to the Corinthians that the way we participate matters. In Corinth, the celebration that was supposed to unify the church actually caused divisions and problems. Paul repeated the phrase, come together, five times in 1 Corinthians 11. It's verses 17, 18, 20, 33, and 34. His intent was for the church to focus on their unity in Christ by participating together in the Lord's Supper. We give visible expression to that unity. Participation involves personal examination. Let a person examine himself, 1 Corinthians 11, 28. We have examples of other in the scriptures, Matthew chapter 26, Mark 14, Luke chapter 22, and Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We observe to commemorate a past event, to anticipate in a future event, and to participate in the celebration of life between the two. Would the men come forward, please? For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we are thankful for this bread that spiritually represents Christ's body that was broken for us, we remember and celebrate your faithfulness to us as we partake of it. We can't fathom the agonizing suffering of Christ's crucifixion, yet he took that pain for us. Thank you for your love and your unmerited favor. As Christ instructed disciples, we too take the bread in remembrance of him. Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us bow. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this time, we thank you for this cup, which spiritually represents that blood that was shed for us on the cross. We realize that Christ was the supreme sacrifice for all our sins. Because of his blood that was shed for us, we can be free from the power and penalty of sin. Amen.
We're going to sing, Lord, Reign in Me. If you're able, stand with me while we sing this song. Lord, Reign in Me.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain sing, every sunset sigh. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord? Reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord?
Praise God that He continues to work in us. It's been good to be here this morning. I appreciate all the guys sharing. The song, What the Lord Has Done in Me, states, let the weak say that I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see because of what the Lord has done in me. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 20. We'll start in verse 29. In this passage, we read of men in Scripture who experienced firsthand the Lord working in them. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 29. And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And stopping, Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. With this song that's kind of been on our heart this morning, can you imagine these two men singing that song? For these guys, the deck is stacked against them, but they still pursue Jesus. The crowd tries to hush their cries for mercy, but they still pursue Jesus. I can only imagine in this moment, for these two blind men, their discomfort or discouragement. They're probably telling themselves, Jesus can't hear us. They were out there probably begging for food or begging for money, and then they start to hear this crowd form. I'm sure they ask what's going on, and they hear it's Jesus of Nazareth. The one that they've heard of, the one who can heal and work wonders. The crowd tries to quiet them again. It doesn't work. They continue to pursue Jesus. And they cry out all the louder, and Jesus hears them, and he grants them their request that their eyes be opened. And in a moment, their lives are changed. And can you imagine in the moment, Jesus touches their eyes, and they regain their sight, and the first thing that they see that they're looking at is the Savior of the world. What might these men have said if they answered the question, what has the Lord done in me? Some practical things maybe they said was, he gave me vision and allowed me to see. He gave me the time of day when no one else would. He showed me mercy and he showed me grace. when I wasn't deserving. He changed my life completely, and now I praise Him because He has cleansed me and redeemed me. We may not be blind, we may not be weak, we may not necessarily be poor, but we're all sinners in need of something. And the only person that offers us the wonderful gift of salvation is Jesus, and it's Him alone who saves us. If you are in need of grace, look to Jesus. If you are in need of love, look to Jesus. If you are in need of comfort, look to Jesus. If you are in need of strength, look to Jesus. And if you are in need of peace, look to Jesus. He's the only provider of the things we truly need. If you need to respond to the good news of Jesus in any way, I ask that you come forward while we stand and sing.
Heavenly Father, it's indeed good to be here this morning to lift up your name in praise and song and to worship you. Father, we pray that our worship to you has been acceptable. And Father, I ask that you will be with us as we go out into the world this week, that you will guard our hearts, you will guard our minds, that you will protect us from the evil and the temptations of this world, and that you will go before us, and that you will guide our paths in righteousness. Father, there are those here who have lost loved ones, and those who are hurting, those who are sick. Father, we ask that you be with them as